91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today's program begins with a look at the South Florida People of Color organization. It's based in Miami Shores, and we'll learn about its Unity 360 Dialogues set for two Saturdays this month. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper here. The events examine historic, systemic, and casual racism and promote empathy and understanding among people with different backgrounds. That's in minutes. Also, Thursday brings Linda Gassenheimer's Food and Dining segment, with today's discussion centering on most everyone's summer favorite, ice cream, especially the homemade, flavorful variety. July is National Ice Cream Month. We'll get a taste of creamy, organic Italian gelato as churned up in a small Coconut Grove shop. Topical Currents up next. First, NPR and regional news. Joseph Cooper and today's Topical Currents, Thursday edition. Bonnie Berman's a little under the weather. She guarantees me she'll be back on Monday. Well, we begin today's hour with Unity 360. It's a series of facilitated race dialogues held in Miami Shores and sponsored by the South Florida People of Color. We'll discuss two events held on consecutive Saturdays. They'll be July 15th and the 22nd. We'll have more about that later. With us now is Dr. Tamika Bradley Hobbs, the interim chair of the Department of Social Sciences and assistant professor of history at Florida Memorial University. She's a co-facilitator of the 360 event. Welcome back to you, Dr. Hobbs.
Glad to be back. Thanks for having us.
Also with us is a co-founder and executive director of South Florida People of Color and a Miami Shores resident. She's Ronnie Bennett. Welcome to you. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
And in the studio also is immigration lawyer Jordana Hart, who's a board member of South Florida People of Color and a Unity 360 co-facilitator, also a longtime professional journalist. Thanks for coming down, Jordana Hart.
Thank you.
Some ideas of what attendees will hear and experience, Doctor. The 360.
What we really strive to do with Unity 360 is create an environment where people who are interested in having conversations about race and racial issues in our communities, in Miami Shores, in the United States, have an opportunity to do so. We are very deliberate in the way that we set up those forums. We prepare all of our participants with ground rules. We have signals and terms that we use to guide the conversation. And then the curriculum is also something that really stands out in my mind, is that we have structured readings. When we launched this last fall, we started with a book called Waking Up White by Debbie Irving, which is really a phenomenal book. Debbie Irving writes about her struggles as a well-intended white woman in the Northeast, trying to be involved in the arts community, but she kept running into these brick walls with her attempts to help those who she considered to be less than. And what it really forced her to do is really think about her own whiteness and how she came to be acculturated as a white person and embrace the idea that whiteness is an identity. It is a dominant identity that can become really invisible, but it separates people into different camps. And there are some people, because of their association and membership in the white group, that enjoy certain privileges that other groups don't. And so it's the way that it's written in a self-help way. And because of the author and her background, we found that it was a really helpful tool to get people to begin talking about the meaning of race in our society. And we use that book to great effect. Other things that we bring in, and really speaks to my role, is that Debbie Irving recognizes that a part of how her whiteness was developed as a young person is the way that history was taught to her, that she did not learn very much about marginalized groups of people like Native Americans, like African Americans, and it gave her, on the one hand, a very empowered sense of her own personhood and her stake in this country, but on the other hand, she had a really difficult time understanding the plights of other groups of people. So we use history and history books as a way to help build a common foundation for understanding amongst our participants.
And Ronnie Bennett, as an executive director and co-founder, tell us more about the South Florida People of Color organization and its history, and also its renaming.
Okay. Well, it all started in Miami Shores, and you know, it started in 2015 during the Miami Shores Village Council election. And one of the co-founders, Yvonne Ledesma, was running for a second term for the Village Council. And she was also the only female Latinx. Also, myself and Francine Stillman worked on her campaign. And when you're working on campaigns, you get a lot of data, you get a lot of demographics. And that's where we discovered that, you know, Miami Shores has a 56% people of color population. So we were all surprised about that.
What comprises a person of color?
African descent, Hispanic, Latinx, Asian, Middle Eastern. So I guess everyone that's not white. So we worked on her campaign. And because we had that information, you know, we did canvassing and we talked to a lot of the residents in Miami Shores and, you know, of people of color. And, you know, they were all surprised about it. And so we had this overwhelming support of, yeah, let's get together because we are underrepresented. So that's how Miami Shores.
You're underrepresented in the village of Miami Shores,
yes,
or the countywide?
In the politics, the local politics. And you didn't see a lot of people of color in events and activities. And, you know, that's our tax dollars at work. So we needed to be represented. So we would get together every month, do socials, but you're right, the objective was to enable more people of color to be involved in the local politics and be more visible with activities and events in Miami Shores.
So you had a foothold there, and then you decided you wanted to make it regional, to regionalize the name.
Yes, that's what our DBA is. We expanded our vision, but we expanded it because of you know, we were doing events, and in 2016, we did a Black History Month celebration. And during that time, we had an event, a book discussion, mm-hmm. which that's where I met Dr. Tamika Hobbs. And it was on Ta-Nehisi Coates'
Between the World and Me was the book that we were advertising and discussing.
Yes.
And it was for Black History Month.
Yes, it was.
And it was an African-American male author, African-American female professor discussing it. And sponsored by Miami Shores People of Color, but the room that day was filled with older middle class white citizens from, you know, around the township, and
yes.
So it kind of caught us all by surprise, but we felt that really indicated that there was a desire for more conversation around race and the meaning of race in our society.
They
today.
Asked for it.
Yeah, they asked for it. They did. They wanted to talk more about race, and so that's how Unity 360 was born.
Jordana Hart, you're a co-facilitator of Unity 360. Tell us more from your perspective.
Well, one of the things that I look at is the law, and that the law to me is not enough to break down bias and stereotypes. And to me, the dialogues give people an opportunity not only to speak to each other. Our dialogues include African-American people, white people, and other people, and it gives them a chance to speak together in a room. And one of the things I wanted to say is this is going to be our third dialogue series. Our first was in Miami Shores. It was between September and December of 2016, one a month. Then we did two in Miramar, which was around a Marvin Gaye photo exhibit that Dr. Hobbs curated at the Miramar Cultural Center. And now we're doing this one at the Miami Shores Community Church on July 15th and July 22nd. And one of the things that it does, and that people told me, whites told me specifically, is that they had never had a conversation of any significance with a Black person, and that in that room and what they heard and what they were able to say transformed them. So this is difficult to measure in terms of, you know, numerical changes, but what it does is when it changes people inside, which it does, then we've done our job. And that's really what we're focused on, is people in a room. Tamika and I, when we facilitate, We're not trying to shut people down. We're trying to give them guidance and fluidity in how to express themselves and to be emotional, to be furious, to cry, to do whatever makes them feel better. But it's a welcoming place, and it's a therapeutic place for many people, and that's what people have told me. And these are white people who identify as liberals.
But you mentioned quite frequently that it's safe and structured. What's behind that?
Well, we come in and first we have ground rules about that govern how people interact and speak in the room. There's only one voice at a time, that we assume the best about what everyone has to say. That one in particular is very important, because very often when people are talking about race, they do it very clumsily. And typically people can get jumped on for saying things that may seem insensitive, even though they may simply be stating and using the best terminology that they have. So we allow that. We accept whatever comes, but we also have tools to deal with those and to educate people. We use something called "ouch." It's a flag on the play, to use the football parlance. If someone says something and we decide that it's an ouch moment, we stop all activity, all conversation, and we really deal with what was just said.
And who determines that?
We as facilitators, Jordana and I, can determine that. We, again, at the outset with the ground rules, empower our participants to be able to use the ouch. So it can, anyone in the room can say ouch, but it gives us a moment to talk. And again, the whole purpose is to educate and help people be better at those interactions.
I want to get into the wheres and whens of the 360 events, but also, will it be presented anywhere people could see online at a later date?
In order to protect the environment that we're trying to create and
privacy
and privacy and a sense of safety, we don't allow media, we don't record. So people have to register and come and be a part of each experiences. And I think there's some magic to it. I think our Ronnie and Jordana would agree. We usually have anywhere between 25 to 30 people at a time. And it's a really good intimate size for the group. The group that's coming
up.
So
how many will be there?
We have really good numbers for this upcoming session.
Registration seems almost up to 70. So, but we usually, everybody doesn't come. We're hoping.
So who's best to give the wheres and whens and registration information?
Me.
Then do so.
You mean what's the...
Where, the dates,
times,
how to register?
Absolutely. So it's on Eventbrite under Unity 360 Summer Series. And also you can look on our website as well, which is southfloridapoc.org. Even on, we also have a Facebook page, and but registration is through Eventbrite.
And it's free.
And it's free, but we accept donations.
Okay, all right. We're talking about the South Florida People of Color's Unity 360 events, which are coming up later this month on Saturdays. And we'll take a short break on Topical Currents and be back with more. And we're back. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you. Bonnie Berman has the day off. She's a little bit under the weather. We're visiting with Dr. Tamika Bradley, the interim chair of the Department of Social Sciences and assistant professor of history at Florida Memorial University. She's a co-facilitator of the 360 event and also the co-founder and executive director of the South Florida People of Color, Ronnie Bennett, and also immigration lawyer Jordana Hart. She's a board member of South Florida People of Color and a Unity 360 co-facilitator. Tell me, what sort of subjects do you expect to encounter during these events? It's very freewheeling, I suppose?
Because of the readings, when we start with Debbie Irving's Waking Up White, we really delve into the concept of white privilege. But in exploring that, we also deal with the definition of racism. And the way that we present that is that we have an understanding of racism as being layered, that it moves from individual racism and bias. Then it moves into institutional racism, where there are policies, for example, in our school systems and our criminal justice systems that perpetuate racial disparities. And they can be colorblind. But they also have the impact, nevertheless, of creating and perpetuating those disparities. And then all of those different institutions then create a system of systemic racism in our country. And so we try to really expand the way that people talk about race and understand the differences and what happens, that it's not something that is just they have no stake in. Racism and the future of race relations in our country is not something that people can sit on the sidelines about. Either you are actively working to make our society more inclusive, or you are helping to perpetuate the status quo. And something that was really interesting for us after during our sessions in the fall, we had four of them, but there was one that was about a week after the presidential election, and we saw a really dramatic spike of attendees, white attendees. And the conversation, even though we had a very structured one that we wanted to have, it really got bent towards the political climate and a lot of the racist, frankly, rhetoric, dog whistle politics that we saw Donald Trump involve himself in. And there was a lot of concern in the room. And so I've always felt that the timing has been very fortuitous, that we need more of what we're doing with South Florida people of color in these Unity 360 dialogues.
And Joseph, I wanted to make the point that for me, we're trying to move the discussion of racism away from Black people and focused on the Black community and bringing it to where it is, which is with us, with white people. And this, what Dr. Hobbs calls, you know, drive-by liberalism, where you go into the so-called ghetto and you leave a turkey, bring coats, you go in as a tutor, that isn't going to help the situation. It's as if we're looking at other people and saying, this is your problem and we're going to help you. But we as white people are the perpetrators of it. And my goal is to bring the discussion to us, and it's a difficult one.
Tell us more about the POC, the People of Color Organization, and their and the socials and other events, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
I gotta get closer to the mic. So we have socials every month. We also, like we said, plan different projects like the Unity 360. We'll do things like Haitian Heritage Month. But, you know, what we're trying to do for South Florida people of color, we are expanding to other communities. And, you know, our focus is, you know, ending bias, bigotry, and racism. And we're doing that by creating these type of opportunities for folks to get together, to interact across the racial divide. And we really think that's important by, you know, going on a personal level, because when people do it on a personal level, they tend to break down stereotypes, mm-hmm. you know, and also, you know, they're more empathetic because of the historical foundation that we have with Unity 360. So it provides people to be more empathetic, and hopefully and ultimately that will end, you know, systemic and institutionalized racism.
Tell me more about Miami Shores. It seems sort of like a perfect spot for this sort of thing. It has it's an urban area in some senses, but also very suburban, and has a very mixed income level of its community. Is that why this is so important here?
Well, I think it's because we live there and we were so surprised that there were so many people of color there. And if you look on the council and if you look at the boards, it's very white male. There may be maybe one or two person of color on there. So, you know, we're not being represented. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what made it very important to Miami Shores.
Now, this book, Waking Up White and Finding Myself in the Story of Race, it's recommended but not required. If I haven't read the book, am I going to kind of be lost in the discussion?
No, we have a curriculum that's set up that is free-flowing. I teach college, so I'm very used to students coming in without having read their homework. So we make sure that it's, regardless of where you are, you're going to be able to come in and participate. And we've done something very different. Last fall, we had four sessions that were spread out. This time, we're doing two. The session on July the 15th will last from all day, basically from 9:30 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We'll have lunch together. And so we'll squeeze what essentially was two sessions, a discussion of waking up white and a workshop around those ideas into a single day. And then people will have the chance to come back on July 22nd to delve a little deeper into the themes that were explored in the first session. So we're trying a new format. But this is exciting for us in terms of the growth and the response of the program, because we were invited into Miami Shores Community Church to put this program on. And that's the kind of thing we see for the future. We've had a chance, as they said, to go up to Miramar. We've had some interest from folks in Coconut Grove. But people seem to be really excited about our model and what we're able to create. And there's a lot of magic that happens in the room.
Now, we have many listeners who tune in and tune out. So once again, give how people can attend this, where they go online to register. And also, they'll be able to get the dates and times and places.
Yes, for the events coming up in July and for our upcoming calendar, they can visit southfloridapoc.org, southfloridapoc.org, as well as follow us on Facebook. We're still under Miami Shores People of Color.
Tell me more about you ladies. Let's start with Ronnie Bennett. Tell me more about your background and what makes you so interested in this project.
That's because maybe because I am Black. No, but no, I just think it's very important. I think, you know, I've been in corporate America for the longest, and I will say that I didn't know a lot about the history of, you know, my own people and what has happened in the past. And I think that's really what's have gotten me really involved in this, because, you know, it's still happening now. So, I mean, I think it's really important that we get to know our history, and that's white and Black. I think once you see that, you'll see that a lot of stuff hasn't changed. And so that's kind of my goal, is to try to change that.
And Jordana Hart, you're an attorney, an immigration attorney, and also you've been a professional journalist for many years. More about your background and how it has shaped you professionally and also socially.
Well, I'm Canadian, and I grew up in Europe, so I didn't grow up in the U.S., and I learned lots of different histories, so I wasn't socialized as a white American person.
Do you say that it gives you a different perspective?
I would say so, and also my own personal life, the trajectory has been a little different socially, where I have been grounded in friendships and relationships in Black communities in Boston and here. And I guess I'm also exploring my own whiteness through these projects and through my relationships with these women and other people in our group. The issue of facilitating is important to me because it's also helping me build empathy toward other white people who I feel need to move along a bit, and I need to work on myself and with them on that. And I think in some ways, when there's a white facilitator who might be somewhat woke, as they say, other whites listen, and they either will be turned off and see me as a race traitor, or they will be excited by the ability of being able to move forward. And so that's how I come to it. And yes, I was a journalist with the Globe, Boston Globe, and I'm an immigration lawyer, and I also study the intersection of immigration and race.
Do you expect these to be emotional sessions?
Yes. We prepare for that. We ask people to be very honest about what they are experiencing.
Give me an example.
We've had people who come, when we talk about, for example, I think one touchstone that we keep coming up on is school integration. A lot of our participants lived through that experience on either side. And what I see is that on the one hand, we have our African-American participants who are able to testify to how difficult that was for them, for those of them who left all Black schools and were integrated and isolated often in these majority white schools. And you have people who empathetically listen. They've never heard a first-person account of what that was like for a person. But then we also had something very interesting happen in another one of our sessions, where one of our white participants said to the room that she felt that integration was forced down the throats of white Americans and that they weren't ready for it. And that gave us an opportunity to have some discussion around that perspective and what she may have been missing about the other side of that equation. The other side of the reality for African Americans is that they were routinely deprived of equal resources, equal facilities, transportation, books, you name it. And so was that really fair? Is that really a testament to the American dream? I think we would agree that not. And so it's able to help expand people's perspective.
Well, we've been speaking about Unity 360, sponsored by the South Florida People of Color Organization. And that'll be July 15th and the 22nd. You can go online and get more information about that. We want to thank Dr. Tamika Bradley-Hobbs. She's the interim chair of the Department of Social Sciences and assistant professor of history at Florida Memorial University. Also, she's a co-facilitator. And also, we've been speaking with the co-founder and executive director of South Florida People of Color, Ronnie Bennett, and also immigration lawyer Jordana Hart, who's a board member of South Florida People of Color and a Unity 360 co-facilitator. Thank you very much, ladies. It's been a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure.
Thanks,
and
Joe.
Best of luck in your endeavors.
Thank you.
I hope you'll attend.
I'll try.